Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 5 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of the Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located in the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. Where does electricity come from? How does it get to us? And how is pricing determined? What is the relationship of oil, coal, natural gas, nuclear power, and alternative sources of energy to electricity? How do weather events in the Gulf of Mexico and the political instability in the Middle East impact the price and availability of electricity on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard? Let's take the next half hour to explore these and some other questions. Joe Sorries is a senior power supply planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Sam Morgan is a Northeast Commodity Sales Manager for Con Ed Solutions, the Compact's power supplier. Gentlemen, welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you very much for coming down. Joe, I'm going to put the first question to you. Can you address the issue or the subject of where does electricity come from?
John, electricity is generated by probably somewhere north of 800 generating facilities in New England that generate electricity using anything from nuclear power, natural gas, coal, oil, renewables. The electricity is generated at the plant level, goes through the transmission distribution systems, and is offloaded in probably over 900 different places within New England. And then that electricity comes down from the substation through the streets and to your home. So if you think of it as
It's like kind of like a big, big bucket
a
that
big,
they
big reservoir
just
with,
dump
with, like a lake with
right.
With streams that come off
okay.
to all the various offtake points.
Right.
So it's one big
all dumps
pool,
into one
pool.
Central place, and
That's
then it gets
correct.
Dispatched
to
through
high tension
lines and that type
right.
of thing to different distribution points, and ultimately ends up at the meter at our house.
Correct.
So,
Can I please? I think it's good that you brought up the question of where electricity comes from, because I think as we start talking about new technologies, you know, electric cars and and changing how we run our transportation infrastructure, ultimately in New England and everywhere else around the United States, we're still essentially converting mostly fossil fuels into electricity.
Yeah.
You know, while it's cleaner at the point you're using it, it depends on how you're generating the electricity as to whether, you know, that's really a clean technology or not.
Right.
So.
Right. And as we're finding out, certainly, siting a power facility, whether it's a wind facility, certainly I can recall I used to be in the New Hampshire legislature in another life and was there when the Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant was being built. And and I'm hearing an awful lot of the same kind of levels of emotion as some of the wind facilities. They're just not easy to site, and yet we need the power. So it's a difficult problem to address. And we've got a finite market, we've got a finite supply, and we've got to go out and try to get our share at a price that. That we can all afford. So how does that process work? So we get the power, the Cape Light Compact buys the power from Con Ed Solutions. How does Con Ed Solutions go about getting this power for us?
Well, as you'd alluded, there are a lot of things that affect the price of electricity. And in New England, it's primarily the price of natural gas.
Okay.
And so in very
more and more, actually, we're relying on natural gas more and more as time
right.
goes on.
As a country and as a region, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you turn on the news or the radio station. I was listening to it on the ride down here on I think it was on NPR, but the discovery and the production of shale gas in Pennsylvania and parts of New York has really increased our production of natural gas and our ability to even export some of our energy supplies in the U.S. So for the foreseeable future, we're likely to have plenty of natural gas. That doesn't necessarily mean those prices will be low, but...
But at least the supply will be there.
The supply looks solid. And as there's more regulations on generating power from coal, there'll be more plants likely converting over to natural gas and cleaner, what are considered cleaner fossil fuels. So, but to answer your question as to how we take those kind of inputs and output a price, we make arrangements with either generators or financial institutions where we can effectively hedge the price of power. And the price of power that we pay is really based upon largely those fossil fuel inputs that we talked about. And we, in turn, are able to offer a fixed price to Cape Light Compact and its consumers. So what we do is we'll take some disparate types of contracts that we're able to put in place and then turn into a simpler fixed price contract.
So you buy some here, some there, mix it together, offer a price, even though the price of electricity is constantly varying, and I mean constantly, by the minute the price of electricity varies. And so when you have to plan for 6 months out, you have to take into consideration the events that we don't know yet. And as I said in the opening monologue, events in the Middle East, I can recall back in 2005, I guess it was, when Hurricane Katrina slammed the Gulf Coast. And, you know, we perhaps didn't understand the tremendous impact that was going to have on our electricity supply here in the Northeast. And the law of supply and demand says that if the supply is low, then the price is high. And so we on the Cape have to be concerned that these events that are far beyond our control are the risk for the pricing is assumed by someone else, and that's what Con Ed Solutions does.
You're absolutely right, John. I mean, you know, when Katrina and Rita hit back in 2005, most consumers obviously wouldn't make the connection between high electricity prices that we all had at that time versus a hurricane that occurred in the Gulf of Mexico, as you say, so far away. But that natural gas that comes into Louisiana and is piped up to the Northeast, to New England, a lot of that natural gas was shut in as a result of these hurricanes. And so the supply coming up to the pipeline, through the pipelines, was not reliable. Pricing for natural gas became very volatile, and prices went through the roof. So you're absolutely right. You need to make the connection between the fossil fuel that's being used to generate electricity and its source, and those circumstances that may affect it, the availability and supply of that, such as a hurricane.
And frankly, the threat now to shut down the Straits of Hormuz in the Middle East would have a tremendous impact on the supply of oil, and some of our power plants are run on oil. Mm-hmm. Frankly, the Cape, the canal plant at the end of the Cape or the beginning of the Cape is an oil-fired plant, and so we need to be concerned about that. So, Sam, how is it that your company, the Cape Light Compact, goes out to bid, and the Con Ed Solutions was the successful bidder on the Cape's power supply. How is it that your company is able to assume that kind of a risk?
Well, we have first of all, you know, any kind of large, stable electricity supplier has risk management policies and strategies to make sure that whatever obligation they make to a customer, be it Cape Light customer or an individual business, that they in turn have the way to manage that risk and keep their promises, essentially. So that's a standard of business that any responsible electricity supplier has to be able to meet.
This is total ignorance on my part. Do you buy insurance policies, or are you just such a big company with a strong enough balance sheet that you can assume the risk on your own?
Well, while we do have a strong balance sheet, what we do when we create an obligation with a customer, We then go out into the market, whether that's with a generator or with another financial entity, and effectively hedge our obligation. So if we agree to sell electricity to somebody at 8 cents, we go and make sure we can, before offering that price, we make sure we could buy it for a price where we could honor that price to the consumer, and then we make an arrangement in a larger standardized block for power out into the future, so we can make sure we meet that commitment. And okay. Then that party is now obligated to provide us power at that rate, and as long as their credit financial solvency is good, then we've managed our risk by making that arrangement with somebody else.
Okay, we talk about 8 cents. I mean, somebody listening to this thing is going to say, well, I pay more than 8 cents for my electricity. So, Joe, this is where there's another component to the distribution of electricity and why don't you explain that and the relationship that the CAPE customers have to NSTAR, which is the local distribution company. They add a distribution cost to that.
Right.
Okay.
There are really two pieces to the electric bill. Since the electric utility industry was restructured, John, back in 1997, you have a supplier page, which for CAPE Light Compact customers, page 2. That's the CAPE Light Compact Con Edison supply. The price on that page is for the supply only. On the first page of the bill, of the NSTAR bill, is what we call the poles and wires portion of the bill. That's the regulated side of the bill. That part of the electric utility industry is still regulated by the Department of Public Utilities in Massachusetts. And that portion of the bill contains the distribution, the transmission, renewable energy, energy conservation charges, and a charge called transition, which is a recovery of charges that NSTAR has as a result of them selling off their generating
assets. Because they used to own their own power plants.
Right, they were vertically integrated from generator right through to the meter.
And when did deregulation take place, just to remind us?
The law was passed in November 1997 and went into effect in March of 1998.
Okay, so we've been doing this now for a while.
There was a transition period for about 7 years where rates were mandated by the Massachusetts legislature. I would say full competition really occurred in March of 2005, when the market really opened up and the CAPE Light Compact assumed approximately 185,000 customers for supply at that time.
Okay. And Barnstable County, we can use the purchasing arm of Barnstable County.
And Martha's Vineyard.
And Martha's Vineyard to go out and get competitive suppliers and so it sounds like quite a complicated process for something that we now kind of take for granted. We put a plug into the wall and whatever appliance we have starts running, but there's a tremendous amount of activity that goes behind that plug and keeps you guys busy all day long. Mm-hmm. Just watching and making sure that the supply, our power supply, is secure. You're listening to CAPE Light Compact Focus on Energy. Our guests today are Joe Sorys, Senior Power Supply Planner at the CAPE Light Compact, and Sam Morgan, who is the Northeast Commodity Sales Manager for Con Ed Solutions, and Con Ed Solutions is the Compact's power supplier, having won the competitive bid for that contract. It's my understanding that people theoretically could go out and buy electricity on their own. They don't have to use this. That's what competition was supposed to have been all about. I don't believe it's shaped up as it was originally envisioned, but just walk us through how somebody would go about if they decided they wanted to go on their own.
I think the CAPE Light Compact and Con Edison Solutions, as a municipal aggregator, the CAPE Light Compact is what's termed an opt-out aggregator. In other words, if you move to the Cape or Martha's Vineyard, you are automatically put on the CAPE Light Compact power supply. But that does not mean that you have to stay on our supply. You can opt out. We provide a package when you first come to the Cape or Vineyard, and you can decide to opt out and go back to NSTAR Basic Service, or you can elect to go with another competitive supplier. I think the beauty of the Cape Light Compact as a municipal aggregator versus other competitive suppliers, John, is that you can leave our supply without any exit fee or termination charge. You can come back to our supply with no fee. The only
no fee from your side, but there may be a fee from if you went and signed a contract with somebody else.
There could be a fee. There could also be a charge from NSTAR if you are on their basic service and you leave before the end of a six-month fixed price period. What NSTAR does is they provide you with a final bill.
Okay.
But once you leave, if you leave midterm, they go back and recalculate your bill, not on the fixed rate that you're on, but on a variable month-to-month rate. And you could either end up with a debit or a credit on your final bill. I think a lot of customers don't realize that.
So if we did have one of these big events, that unpredictable events, then and they were off the contract, the Barnstable County Cape Light Compact contract, then they could theoretically take a hit for these events. And that's one of the reasons why we like to talk about this type of thing. We certainly... the Cape Light Compact certainly embraced the open competition, and frankly, we're in it ourselves, just on a larger scale. We go out into the marketplace and look for.
I think most consumers, we don't have any consumers sign contracts as you would with a competitive supplier, and I've always maintained that, I'm all for competition. I've even told business owners in the past that if you're offered a contract from some supplier, and you have any questions, I would be glad to review the contract and provide you with my comments and concerns that I would have if I was the entity or the business that was going to sign that contract. And I'll provide you with my comments and concerns. And as an attorney, it's advice. You can take it or leave it, and you make your own decision based on that input.
Well, so that's a gives me some level of comfort then if I actually wanted to try to explore the marketplace, that you'd be there to because I've looked at these contracts, they're difficult to understand, and there's things in them that if they're not carefully scrutinized can come back to bite you later on. We talked about the availability of natural gas in the Northeast and the fact that we have more and more supply. Why is it that the prices? Why is it the prices don't go down? I guess actually they do go down sometimes, but not so you'd know it. I mean, it's.
Well, John, when we had our last spike back in mid 2008, that's when oil was $140.
Right,
plus
I remember
dollars
that.
A barrel. Yeah. They were projecting it to go to $200 a barrel.
Right.
Natural gas was, $15 a million BTU, and now it's $2.80.
It's a huge swing.
Huge swing.
Yeah.
We had, since mid-2008, six straight price reductions to consumers. So consumers got the benefit of this, reduction in the price of natural gas as we went through. For the first half of 2012, our price has gone up slightly. For a residential customer, it was 7.244 cents for the last half of 2011. It's now 7.899 cents per kilowatt hour for the first 6 months of this year. So it's gone up slightly.
And that's going to translate into a few cents, actually, on a bill, right?
Yes,
maybe
very,
a dollar.
Very, very small.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did check with Sam when the prices went up, and as I mentioned, when we had the hurricane in 2005, supply was an issue, and delivery was an issue. Well, in this case, we have plenty of supply, but there were some issues with the delivery component of getting the natural gas to New England, and that term is called basis.
Okay.
So while the commodity itself is priced low, the natural gas commodity, the delivery of that to New England had gone up during the fall, the late fall, early winter of 2011, and that's what you see reflected in the slight increase in the price for the first half of this year.
On the distribution side, I mean, I've heard the term congestion, where I suppose that happens in the summer when we've got a lot of tourists on the Cape and there's a lot of demand, and so we have congestion choke points and things like that that we have to be concerned about.
Well, congestion as it relates to supply, there's an imaginary place in the middle of Massachusetts called the Mass Hub, and it's a way of pricing electricity in the market of Massachusetts. And congestion is the difference between electricity at that hub and, you know, one of the three zones that are in Massachusetts. You know, as you'd expect, it costs a little more to get electricity into Boston than it does to that to maybe central Massachusetts. And that's generally reflected in what's called a, you know, a congestion cost.
Okay. And those of us on the Cape are certainly familiar with traffic congestion on the bridge in the summer. And electricity is kind of the same thing. You've got much more demand because of the number of people that are down here in the summer running their air conditioners and everything else. We effectively have a bridge that has to be crossed with the electricity and have a similar situation. So and there is a cost to congestion that's part, I believe, of the contracts that's priced in. You price in the fact that we're going to have some congestion at certain points in time, and it becomes more difficult for us to get the electricity here economically.
Right. Unfortunately, in recent times, the cost of congestion on Cape Cod, which is in the southeastern Massachusetts load zone, those costs have been very low. So have not been a huge cost component. But as you mentioned, those are costs that we manage, and we make sure that we've purchased and taken care of.
And is there something being done to alleviate the congestion that you're aware of? I mean, I thought I heard something a few years ago that they were perhaps building some additional capacity. And that, again, this is my ignorance. I ordinarily don't operate on this side of the equation. I'm usually more on the demand and energy efficiency side.
I think, John, that the question you're really raising is a question that really came up with regard to reliability of our system in southeast Massachusetts. Back in 2003, in December, there was an outage that created a lot of concern. As a result of that outage, the overall New England Power Coordinating Council has specific rules about your standards of reliability for your grid. And so the independent system operator, which operates the grid in New England, had to take a look at that and plan for this. So we had, over the course of 4 or 5 years, reliability charges as a result of the canal plant that had to run to maintain a source down here.
A cushion,
so to speak. Even though that plant, if in an economic market, which is the way that it runs in New England, would not have been called to run. So we had what was called uplift charges or reliability charges that all consumers on the Cape and Vineyard paid. Since then, we've had some short-term fixes that were performed by NSTAR to alleviate that problem. So a lot of those uplift or reliability charges, if you will, have gone away. What they're looking at now is bringing in another 345 kV line across the canal.
All right, I'm going to stop you there because you've used an acronym that everybody may not be familiar with. 345 kV means what?
It's a high tension line.
So it's a big high voltage
line. There are two that come across the canal now. They'd be adding a third.
Oh, okay.
And this should take care of any contingencies for reliability issues here. And, you know, when you talk about these uplift or reliability charges, when they first came about, I think it was a surprise to everyone because the suppliers, the competitive suppliers, were the ones that were being charged.
Had to eat those costs.
Yep. Now, in our contract with Con Edison Solutions, you know, there were no pass-throughs to customers to say, oh, hey, wait a minute, we quoted you a price of X, but now we're going to have to add something.
And that's what you have to watch out for in a competitive contract.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Because a lot of the contracts will say we have pass-through charges, and those pass-through charges, more often than not, will be reliability or regulatory changes, and the supplier will say, hey, that wasn't priced into my original price to you, so I have to now add that to my price to you, and your new price is now this. And by contract, you would be obligated to pay those.
Okay, so but when you go out to bid, when you go out to bid, you put a provision in there that
risk is borne by the supplier.
Right. Okay, very interesting. So I'm going to ask you. I know this is kind of tough, and we won't hold you to it, but look in your crystal ball and tell us where this is all heading. What are we looking at, do you think, in the future as far as pricing is concerned? Can we take some level of comfort in the discovery of all the natural gas? What do you think?
Well, I always say, John, that if I knew that, I would be sitting.
Exactly. If I could read tomorrow's Wall Street Journal, I'd be rich too. If I could read it today.
I think the good news, you never know. Like I just intimated, but the good news is, as we talked about before, compared to 5 years ago, we feel very secure about at least the supply of natural gas. Now, as Joe mentioned earlier, you still have to get natural gas into New England, which is, reliant on infrastructure, which is somewhat constrained, and things that you alluded to, whether they're global events, weather events, all those things can have impacts on the cost of electricity and can't be foreseen or predicted. But Joe and I were talking earlier, and I think the price of electricity, over the past, 5 years was somewhere in the mid to high 9-cent range, and our expectation is that we'll remain, considerably below that for the next couple of years. But
good. So if I'm a business or want to plan for the long term, I can take some level of comfort that at least the existing supply is probably going to be pretty stable, and the price will be fairly stable also.
I think people feel a lot better about it today than they did a couple of years ago.
Sure. Oh, I remember well when Hurricane Katrina hit and how all Hades broke loose.
Mm-hmm.
I told you at the beginning that this was going to go awfully fast, and it looks like we're at the end of the program. I want to thank you both very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. I'd like to thank my guests, Joe Soris, Senior Power Supply Planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Sam Morgan, a Northeast Commodity Sales Manager for Con Ed Solutions, the Compact's power supplier. I'd also like to thank our engineer, John Braden, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work today and getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 93.1 on your FM dial. It is also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us again next month, same time, same stations, and remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource.